or he has control over those things. He's beyond all those things. It's, you know, to me it's like, well, you know, it's a fantastic sort of explanation for anything. You know, every once in a while I think to myself, this is very candid, you know, I think about the experience I had with God. What if it was just like aliens hovering over and they were zapping me with a cosmic ray and it was just a big joke, you know, to them? That'd be pretty funny. But that would be also pretty cruel. And I couldn't imagine such intelligent things doing it. That would be funny. A couple of cosmic pranksters, right? Playing a trick. That would be pretty funny. But you know what? Based on what little evidence that's been given me, the things, you know, it gave me faith. And I've come this far. I've obtained what I've obtained. You know what? I can't turn back. I have to go wherever this leads me. For since by man. I just say these things, you know why? Because it's like all my life, I was a person who could see flaws in things, right? And faith is not something that came easily to me. Even to this day, I find it difficult at times. But I've been given sufficient grace. I mean, God has favored me with certain experiences and knowledge and so on and so forth, things that I'm convinced intellectually. I have things, you know, proofs, which evidence that's been submitted to me that I've experienced, that to other people would just be like, well, you had some sort of experience, but you know, I wouldn't expect anyone to accept those sort of things. You know what I mean? Just like Paul's being struck blind. You know, after he sees again, people look at him and it's like, well, he's telling a story, right? You know, to make himself seem more credible, right? That's what it, you know, and that's what it's, same thing with me. It's like, I tell these things and it's like, I know some people are going to be like, wow, he had an experience. That's pretty amazing. And other people are going to be like, yeah, he's just trying to make us think that he is more credible by claiming a sincere sort of experience. Even now, by analyzing that experience, he is further trying to add artificial credibility to what is not a credible experience. I understand that. But the reason I teach the way I do is because I think that way as I read it. These are, you know, Jesus said if you had enough faith, you could move a mountain and have it be cast into the sea. Fantastical type claims. Right? Yet I'm convinced. You know, I don't expect that to impress anybody. People think, well, an idiot like you would be convinced of anything. But even so, for those of you who don't think like that, my testimony is true. By man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. You know, Adam died, brought death in the world. And not even really knowing what he was doing. He ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as we explored earlier in this book, he didn't know what he was doing. But just the fact that he ate it. He didn't say, thou shalt not knowingly eat. That's the thing, people think like you have to knowingly sin. You have to know you're doing it. Yeah, to some degree. But there's always some, but you know what? That doesn't mean, just because you have to knowingly sin to be worthy of death. Everyone does it at least once. But what do you have to do to be worthy of eternal life? Is there really anything we could do? If we lived a perfect life, would then God have to come down and say, you are worthy of life eternal! Congratulations! Is that what God has to do? Is that what he owes you? I lived a good life. I did all sorts of good things. Now, you don't deserve to burn in hell, right? As far as being eternally tortured or something like that. But do you deserve to live forever? Just because you did some nice things for people who are dying anyways? For a world that's dying anyway? That's the thing, is that people overvalue their own worth. They think they're worth so much and what they do is so important. But what we do is nothing. And we are nothing. Except that God would say, that's the only thing that would make us anything other than a cosmic accident, a blip in a gigantic universe which has neither care for us nor knowledge of us. It is only something transcendent that would come down and give it meaning. and it's in the search for that. To me, it's the greatest search and quest of all. You know, to be able to take part in that. To be, you know, it just says, you know, according as his divine power hath given us, I'm thinking of 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power hath given us all things which pertain to life and godliness. Life and godliness, and that by these, the promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the part I wanted to get. To partake of the divine nature. I want to partake of the divine nature. Even in this present world, having been delivered from the corruption that is in this world. How many Christian preachers have been delivered from the corruption in this world? They even confess, I am still a sinner. Right? Whoa. And they're out there corrupting others and being corrupt. And it's like, what kind of testimony is that? They're Satan's ministers. Do you realize that most Christian preachers out there are Satan's ministers? They're false teachers. Billy Graham is a false prophet. All those guys. The people teaching in seminaries, false teachers. Apostasy. Deception. It's rampant. It's everywhere. You're really, yeah, I am. Christ shall all be made alive. Why? Because all, even the unjust are gonna be. You're not. You die, right? You don't believe. You don't. It's not just about believing, but by faith is what you obtain everything. It's not just, I'm just gonna believe and I'm gonna, you know. You can believe in vain. I believed and nothing happened, so my belief was in vain and I'm going to die anyways. That's what happens. If you believe in vain, to me, to no purpose, to no end, I just believe in to believe. And your faith stops there with just a simple affirmation. And you think, that's it. If faith actually ends there for you, you will not inherit eternal life. You will not. I promise it. But there will be a resurrection of the just, the unjust. You die in your sins, right? You're going to be raised. You go to judgment, you'll be judged worthy of death. You will die the second death. And that'll be it. You know, the only difference between the first death and the second death is the first one you get up from when the resurrection comes. Until that time, you'll die, you will sleep a dreamless sleep. It's not sleep. It's like sleep. You're actually lights out. You're truly dead. It's really nothing different than the second death, except that there's no return from the second death. God theoretically could return you from the second death, but he won't. He destroys and finishes you off. Whereas in the first death, your soul is sort of like, it's there somewhere, you know, because the soul is, to me, is more of like an idea. It's not a...